I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're only going to read one verse. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 1000. Very familiar verse, and one that sometimes points fingers at us, or at least at some of us. I admit to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. The bride and groom stand before the minister. The room is well decorated. Beautiful flowers and other things around. The bridal party. By the way, guys, have you ever noticed they don't ever call it the groomal party? It's always the bridal party. But the bridal party is well dressed. The room is filled with family and friends. The bride has come to the front. The father has had his hand pried from his daughter's hand as he hands over that hand to the groom. Most people are smiling. The mothers and the grandmothers quietly wipe away a tear at the corner of their eye. The father of the bride boohoos loudly. And the minister begins to read from the New Testament. And one of those places from which the minister begins to read is, love is patient, love is kind. That's usually when we hear this passage read. We really don't hear it read a whole lot of times other than around weddings. However, there is no wedding here this morning. But wait a minute. We only talk about this verse as it relates to weddings. Think back. How many times do you, or how many of those statements about love is patient and kind can you remember from weddings? You can probably even repeat them if you've gone to a lot of weddings, because they come out about the same most of the time. But I want us to look just briefly this morning at patience and patient love as a virtue, other than a virtue of a wedding. For you see, it is to be a cardinal virtue of Christian living. I know we live in an impatient world, a world of instants. Although instant coffee is never as good as that which is brewed. But we live in a world of instants. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant news. Sometimes incessantly instant news. We're impatient with our children, with our husbands, with our wives, with a waiter or a waitress in the restaurant. Some of us are impatient with the slow driver in front of us. That's me. Right, Jane? Jane has seen me one time before talking with a slow driver. But I was just talking and telling them, move on, move on, move on. And sometimes we are even impatient with God. I know I've shared this example in some other settings before, but one of my mother's cousins is Doug Marlette, the cartoonist. Predominantly a political cartoonist for the Charlotte News and Disturber. But he also is responsible for the comic strip Kudzu and the preacher that is in that. And I have in a file in my office an instance where there are just a few frames. You know, the preacher that's got the dark suit and the big wide-brimmed dark hat. You've seen that if you've read the comics over the years. And in the first frame, his hands are folded and he's looking skyward and he says, "Lord, give me patience." In the second frame, his hands are folded and his head is bowed. And in the third frame, he is looking up again and it says, "Well, we're that way. We live in an impatient world. We try to put God on our timetable or to fit God in as we want or as we have time. Perhaps we need to look, though, at God's nature as our example of patient love." So what do we find here about patience and about patient love and what it's to be for us, especially as related to God? First, we find that God is a patient God. Has to be to put up with some of us. God was patient with the man and the woman, we call them Adam and Eve, in the garden. Even though they disobeyed, God was patient. Death does come into the world as God had said it would. But it doesn't specifically touch their lives for a long time. And the patience that they were shown by God was not a weakness, but it was out of God's strength and God's love that God was patient. You know, it really does, and I think about this often, it takes a whole lot more strength to be patient than it does to be impatient. It is out of strength and love that God was patient with them. And that God was patient with Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel. It wasn't an accident. It was premeditated. It was out of anger and impatience. But God was patient even with Cain, who killed his own brother, and gave him a mark of protection so that others would not kill him indiscriminately. God was patient with Noah, both before and after the flood. God was patient. God is patient with Israel. Throughout Israel's history, Israel is constantly breaking the covenant, and yet God is patient. And notice I didn't say was patient. God is still patient with Israel. Even when people grieve God and the Spirit of God, we find that one of God's characteristics is a long-suffering, patient love. Face it, if we got what we deserved, if God was impatient, none of us would be in here today. In Jesus, we further experience the patient love of God. One of the great attributes we see in Jesus' life is His patience with people, even healing people when He really didn't feel like it, even calming the storm when the disciples woke Him up. Now, yes, He did show some righteous indignation when He cleansed the temple of the money changers and others, when He pointed to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as recorded in Matthew 23, and says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" And starts running out a little laundry list of some of what they had done that was hypocritical. That was also late in His ministry, and He had been very patient with them throughout that time. Think about it. Jesus' disciples misunderstood Him. Misunderstood His Messiahship. His enemies hated Him, badgered Him, and eventually had Him killed. Yet Jesus showed poise and patience and even prayed for those who were killing Him. when the multitudes rejected Him, He wept over the city of Jerusalem. And He wept over the hardness of their hearts, yet He continued on and suffered and died and was resurrected, even for those who rejected and who had hard hearts. Patient love carries within it a breath of the infinite patience of God. In fact, that's the kind of love for which we are to pray and after which we are to strive. The early church father, Chrysostom, spoke of patience as one of the primary of all Christian virtues. When speaking of the patience of God, he wrote that it was like a man who is wronged and has a chance to avenge that wrong, but will not. Edwin Stanton was a minister of war during Abraham Lincoln's presidency. He once said that he didn't have to go to Africa to find a gorilla. He only needed to go to Springfield, Illinois, and find Lincoln. That's what he said about Abraham Lincoln. Yet Lincoln never spoke ill to him and never spoke ill of Stanton, but showed him every courtesy and was patient with him in everything. On the night that Lincoln was shot and died, Stanton said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men this world has ever seen." Only a patient love could conquer the earlier hatred in such a way. But it's not all about just this kind of patient love. The patient love results in something. One of the first verses we learn to parrot as children is, "Be ye kind one to another." It's one of the first verses we will learn in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or anywhere else. Be kind one to another. Of course, we also know how cruel and immature children can be to others. In fact, sometimes that childishness goes on into adulthood, because adults can be just as cruel and immature. You know, there is it used to be called the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. I think it's all wrapped up in the Humane Society now. But there is no official Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to People. But the closest thing to that should be the Christian and the Christian church. We are to be the ones who lead in preventing cruelty to others. And we begin with patient love. The text indicates that that's more than just a benevolent feeling. "I love you. I care about you. Go on and get out of my way." That's not what the text speaks of. Love is patient, but as a part of that patience, love is kind. In fact, we could translate this particular text that love does kindness. It's a lifestyle. It's an activity. It's not just a feeling. It's an activity. It gives itself away in kind acts. That's what love does, and that's what this patience drives us to. Jesus showed this kindness in so many ways. I mean, we could list all kinds of incidents, including a wedding at Cana, where Jesus was patient and Jesus was kind. And when they ran out of wine and his mother said, "This is a terrible thing," and they've run out of wine, Jesus provided for the good of the groom and the bride. Jesus showed kindness with Mary and Martha and the raising of Lazarus, even being patient when they both came to him and said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus was patient and kind. When he fed the multitudes, when he defended the woman who washed his feet, and some of the disciples began to berate her. When he gave the thief on the cross the assurance of salvation. When he healed the leper. When he accepted me. When he accepted you. And yet, it's really sad when we think about how unkind so many religious people are. I'm reminded of the story of a little girl who knelt to say her prayers. And her mother and father were listening at the door, eavesdropping, listening to how cute and how wonderful the prayer was going as the little girl was asking God to take care of her parents and her grandparents and her brothers and her sisters and her best friend at school and her goldfish. And then she said, and please make the bad people good and the good people kind. Amen. Origen said, love is sweet to all. There are several areas that we usually fall short in patient love and kindness. First, we fall short sometimes in the way we view people as sinners. Some people refer to non-Christians as those sinners. Often in a rather unkind way and with an unkind tone. We do it when somebody we think has backslidden. We're even worse there. Christians, overall, are the only group of people that I know that shoot our wounded and can be so unkind. But you know, we need to remember that we're all sinners, not just non-Christians or backslidden or whatever you want to call them. We're all sinners. When the woman was caught in the act of adultery, the religious leaders were very unkind and they wanted Jesus to say, go ahead, kill her. Stone her to death. But Jesus showed kindness. He also spoke often against the self-righteousness that leads to unkindness, even among religious people. We sometimes fall short in our spirit toward those of different beliefs. Now, while most people will immediately think of other religions out there, other than Christianity, I'm speaking about Christians who have different beliefs from our own. Philip of Spain started the Spanish Inquisition, which resulted in torture and massacre of thousands of Protestant Christians. In the Crusades, there were Christians under orders from the Church at Rome who killed Christians who were under the authority of the Christian Church in Constantinople. Better that they die than to continue to sin against the Church. And yet they were part of the Church. Anyone in Philip of Spain's Inquisition who disagreed with the official Church, even in matters of biblical interpretation, was hated and branded as a heretic not worthy of living. Now we know that doesn't happen today. People don't brand other Christians as heretics now, do they? Henry Drummond said, the greatest thing we can do for our Heavenly Father is to be kind to His other children. Isolationism, clannishness, are tragedies that result in unkindness, often towards other Christians. That's a hard one. Because our religion is so close to our hearts, that's a hard one. But even there, or should I say especially there, we should seek to be kind and patient and do kindness to all. Finally, sometimes we fall short of patient love in the ways we treat people in everyday life. In the parable of the Last Judgment in Matthew chapter 25, where the king separates the sheep from the goats, the questions asked by the king are not, how do you interpret this particular passage from the Bible? Or, which creed do you use? Or, how long is the string of sword drill medals that you wear? Or, are you Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Quaker, or any other denomination? The question asked, were you kind to the hungry, the sick, the homeless, the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast, the one who is emotionally drained and doesn't know what to do next, or the person sitting in the pew beside you, or in the church down the street? For you see, true and heartfelt kindness is an evidence of patient love. For love is patient, and love is kind. And love, patient love, is a prime Christian virtue. Would you join me in prayer? O Lord our God, sometimes we are so impatient. We are impatient with each other. We are impatient with the person down the street, the person next door. We're impatient with you. It is so easy for us to slip into that pattern, and so difficult to step out of it. Help us to show patient love, not so that others will look at us and say, oh, aren't they kind? Aren't they patient? But so that others will know that you dwell within us and we within you, and that the kindness that comes from you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, the patient and kind Savior. Amen. A hymn of decision is hymn number 482. O love of God most full, a love that is full of patience and kindness. Our altar is open for any who would make a profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior and would seek to join our fellowship, whether by profession of faith or baptism or transfer of letter. Our altar is also open for any who would renew and rededicate themselves to this patient love. And I want us to sing all four verses today. O love of God most full, and may it be that God's love fills us with patience and kindness. Hymn number 482.